Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
You probably know Robert Sherman. He has been a big part of our show, especially right after the October 7th attacks in Israel. He was there every day on the ground, and we've been watching your reports today as Trump gets ready to fill out his staff. Welcome back to the show, Robert. What do you know so far?
Hey, good to be here. You know, I mean, I would say the big takeaway here, Lisa, you know, is we've all seen a Trump administration before. And the point of emphasis that we're hearing is that they want this to look completely different this go around than how things worked out in 2016. And you're kind of already starting to see that with just a lot of the names that are being mentioned. That, I mean, even the president-elect has said publicly that he wants to be involved in some capacity. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Elon Musk. These are all names, you know, that are being talked about, whether they're in operating in a formal capacity within the administration or a de facto capacity. But they want to hit the ground running with a lot of their agenda here, you know, when all this kicks off in January with the inauguration. So those are the big point of emphases here. But obviously, very early stage with the election, just 2 days in the rearview mirror.
And Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, we all kind of know his anti-vaccine stance and how he feels about fluoride in the drinking water. He's indicated maybe he's a shoo-in for the job. And Trump kind of said that he would, you know, kind of let him go with what he thinks is best.
Yeah, I mean, you even heard it in the victory speech here in Florida on Tuesday, in which he said, you know, he wants Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to play a big role in healing America. Those were his words there. And he's certainly a part of this coalition that has been formed that the former president used in order to win the nomination. He's certainly part of that conversation. Everything is very up in the air right now, and there's a process taking place in order to slot people into different roles here. But they're going through this very meticulously when it comes to the way that they've put together this transition team. If people, you know, like J.D. Vance, Tulsi Gabbard playing roles in vetting people, same with two of Donald Trump's sons, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump as well. If you take away one thing, they want this to look very different than 2016.
Donald Trump churned through four chiefs of staff, including John Kelly, who has said some pretty damning things against him. That was in the first go-around. So who's up for chief of staff? Is Stephen Miller on that list?
You know, possibly. You know, the name that we keep hearing come up is Susie Wiles, someone who appears to have really garnered a lot of respect within the Trump team, you know, coming from the campaign side, and now, you know, possibly someone who could fill that capacity here. I mean, to your point, Lisa, I mean, this is, when we say we want this to look different than, when they say they want this to look different than 2016, that has been part of the post-mortem process of, you know, I mean, it's not just chiefs of staff, but I mean, so many cabinet positions, there was turnover, and they want to avoid that this go around. And, you know, the thinking is that they want people who are closer to the base and closer to the ideology, as opposed to the traditional Republicans who kind of filled out the rotation the last go around.
Yeah, they filled out the rotation. It was my understanding because Trump was new to this role, having not served in a government capacity before. And so they wanted people who could guide him. But I do feel like Chris Steyerwalt said on News Nation, this has been a government in exile. They've had 4 years to plan and to give it thought. So I'm wondering if this time around the vetting process will go much quicker because they already have a good idea about who they want.
It could possibly go more quickly. It could possibly go more thoroughly is the other way that I would look at it as well, to make sure that they have the right people there, because, again, to avoid some of the missteps. Now, that being said, to your point, yeah, I mean, this planning process has been ongoing. I mean, the transition team formally coming together, but these conversations have been ongoing for a long, long time here in order to get ready for this moment. And you look at the agenda that the president-elect has put together, you know, when it comes to immigration, when it comes to the economy, when it comes to foreign affairs. There's also this recognition that they're inheriting a different situation than they did in 2016. They believe that there are some pretty legitimate issues that the country is facing and that they have a tall order in front of them, and they want to hit the ground running as quickly as possible.
I think a lot of people who were not happy with the outcome of the election, younger voters, are concerned about the Environmental Protection Agency and the drill, baby, drill mantra. Any indication as to who they're looking at to fill that role?
Yeah, I mean, that's another really good question. And you know, you even heard it, you know, in which he talked about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. saying, leave the oil to me, because that is a top priority for the president-elect is energy independence. As you said, drill, baby, drill was one of the sound bites that you heard on the campaign trail. Again, I mean, a lot of this is 40,000-foot view right now. But it's all about putting together a team that focuses in on inflation, focuses in on energy independence, focuses in on foreign affairs. So it's very early. It's very much so in the speculative phase, but they're making it sound clear that we're going to start to get a bit more formal guidance soon.
Yeah, and I think I just feel by everything that they've said that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. looks like he is the shoe-in for the health czar. The other thing is the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. That's another agency that people are concerned
right
about and how it impacts their daily life.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of conversations that are going on right now. I mean, especially with how intimately Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, has been having these conversations with the president-elect to this point. And of course, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has talked pretty extensively about what is in our food and things of that nature. So, I mean, those conversations ongoing. What I would say is that I think it is also going to be interesting. There's another piece of this whole transition process, meeting with the current president, President Biden, and moving the situation over to have a peaceful transition of power. We know that there's going to be some kind of a meeting taking place at the White House that they spoke about today. We don't know exactly when that is going to be taking place, but that will be happening soon. And then the other aspect that I would point you to as well is that, I mean, there are global conflicts that are taking place right now in the Middle East, in Europe. We know that he's had conversations with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary to this point, leadership in South Korea as well. I mean, you are going to be seeing a lot of moving pieces over these next 74 days.
Is there any room for Nikki Haley? I know that she was, with him the first go around. She went up against him, but then supported his campaign and pretty much stood on the sidelines waiting to get called into the game right up to the last minute. And I think people were expecting that she would be a part of the new administration. Has her name come up at all?
You know, we haven't really heard it come up at all, Lisa, but I would also say this is that it's very bad business to try and look into a crystal ball and determine what Mr. Trump is going to do in any situation here, because they really move to the beat of their own drum. And I mean, everything that you have seen, I mean, covering this campaign so extensively, they do a lot of things that would not necessarily be what you would expect. Sometimes they don't always do exactly what the base is looking for, but they have had a plan in everything that they've done. And to this point, you can't really argue with it because, I mean, they were able to come up with 270 electoral votes on election night, win the popular vote. So there are certain things that they've been doing as of late that are not conventional, but that is kind of the bread and butter of this operation.
And so we can expect the same out of cabinet appointments, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, quite possibly. I mean, again, I mean, you look at this list here. I mean, I would say Elon Musk as well. I mean, that is a name that since that day in Butler, Pennsylvania, has gone from, you know, a quiet supporter lurking in the shadows to now all of a sudden an unabashed campaigner for the president-elect, someone who's been trying to bolster the electorate, someone who, you know, they want him to play a role when it comes to budget, finance, and government waste. I mean, already you're seeing some names there that, I mean, this doesn't at all look like the 2016 administration to any stretch of the imagination.
Thank you so much for joining us, Robert. We'll be watching you on News Nation.
Thank you so much.